is our great shepherd. And as I was growing up, I told you this story before, but I used to go with my brothers and sisters to the Catholic Church, and I was kind of the black sheep when it came to our family's religion. And I had told my parents that I no longer cared to go into the church and see these red-robed, funny hats, you know, and the basket stuffed in front of you. And they decided to let me decide on my own. And so we would leave the house, and I would go with them, my brothers and sisters. And we'd go through Stockburgers, that was a dealership. We'd go through the dealership there, across State Street. And there was a real narrow path that we would take to the creek. And so we would go down that path, and on the left-hand side was sheep. I knew nothing about sheep. They bawled, you know, they did all that, and they ate grass, you know, they knelt down and just chewed away there on their cud. But I would watch them, I'd observe them, but knew nothing about them like I do now. My brothers, they go across the bridge, and I'd hang out on the other side because I didn't want anything to do with that other side, and that was the Catholic Church. And I would observe the frogs, the tadpoles, fish. I'd make little dams in the creek. But those sheep were always there. And sometimes those sheep were as skinny as you can get because all their fur was, not fur, but their wool was totally shaved off. And they looked hilarious to me. So that was my introduction as a youth to sheep. I want you to turn to Psalm 23, and we're going to look at something here. And usually this psalm is used in funerals. I want to just say this right now. This psalm is not about the shepherd. It's about the sheep's worldview, how they viewed their world, because they had a shepherd. And David, of all, was the greatest shepherd as a young lad. So he understood how these sheep thought. You know, sheep are considered very humble, very frightening animals. And they follow their followers. But we as men, we as fathers, we don't like someone throwing that term out, sheeple. You're a sheeple. We, of all things, we want to be known like John Wayne, that we're on our own. We're self-sufficient. God doesn't want that out of us. He wants us to be humble like sheep, to be ones that are submissive to him, to the great shepherd, to Jesus. You know, I don't like that term, sheeple, either. I hate it. But I found that the best place for me to be is under the rod and the staff of our Lord and Savior. To be the one that follows behind him. And it's something that we learn every day. And it's something that we have to just submit to every day. We got, you know, I wake up and I go, God, this is your day. I need your guidance. I need your direction. If we don't learn to do that daily, we will end up in a briar patch. And we, many times, might not call out to our shepherd. We'll just sit there in that briar patch. And until we do call out, the shepherd's out looking for us. But he's waiting to hear your beeping, your baa. And I tell you, when you do that, when you call out to your shepherd, he will be there. He has never failed me. Oh yeah, I've been through tough times and there's dark days, but he never has failed. And he will never fail you. So we're gonna dissect this. So let's start with Psalm 23. I'm going to read it. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength, and he guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. And even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemy. You honor me by anointing my head with oil, and my cup, it overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Wow. Amen. So we're gonna dissect this. The Lord is my shepherd, I have all I need. Okay. The Lord is my shepherd, I have all I need. Contentment. I have all I need. He leads me beside still waters. Okay, you know what? He supplies all your needs. Contentment. You know, contentment, there are so many people out there that are craving for everything they can get their hands on and have in their garage. We men, we're really big about that. I'll tell you what, my garage got, well, I don't have a garage right now. But I got air tools, I got air compressors, I got motorcycles, I got a Jeep, I got more stuff. And I love working on stuff. I mean, I love working on mechanical things. I love it. Right now, if you go to my homestead where I live, and I apologize to those that are in Kentucky, but my wife and I, we traveled through Kentucky way back in the 70s. It was 76. And many of the Kentucky homesteads, I mean, they had all their cars, all their tractors that were half apart, and that's how my porch looked like that. You know, my deck, my little driveway. I have stuff all over the place, and it's embarrassing because we men crave for things. But you know what? God, he gives us those things that we need, and that one of those is contentment. The second one is rest. Man, I tell you, the world needs rest. When you don't have rest in your life and you're anxious, I've been there. I've traveled all over, and I tell you what, there's times and places where I've been so unrestful. And I'd be out in the middle of this field, and I just cry out to God and say, God, I can't handle this. I can't handle the noise. I can't handle the language. I can't handle the customs of these people. I can't handle the stink. I want to go home. And when I do cry out to him out in those cotton fields, he came through for me. But our society today, it is full of anxiety, because they don't have the great shepherd. Much of our society today, in movies, TV shows, God is out of the picture. There's no place for them to look. There's no one greater than they. And so they're stuck in a hole. They're in that briar patch. I just want to say that you can have all the money you want. You can have, I mean, today, it's not being a millionaire, it's being a billionaire. And those guys that are billionaires, they're the most unrestful individuals that you'll ever meet. I've been in Turkey, I've been in India, I've sat down with men that had money. I was in India, and I thought that this guy's hut was his house. And he said, I want to invite you up to my home. And I'm like, well, isn't this your home? I mean, he had goats there, and he had, in one of the huts, he had all these other items there. And he was, no, this is my office when I'm with the workers. He says, my house is up there. And so we went to his house. It was three stories. It had marble floors, Mercedes parked out front. But he wasn't restful. He was anxious. He was anxious about his crop. He was anxious that the crop would get in. And we sat and talked, and his daughter is the one that gave the interpreter for us. What I'm saying here is, your cravings, if your cravings, what you want in life, is driving you, and you're not being led by this great shepherd, you're not going to find rest. I have a place that I go to, and it's along the river. And it's my Psalm 23 place. And I read there, I meditate there, I pray there. It's a place where I find solitude. And if you don't have that in your life, if you don't have contentment, and you don't have a place where you can rest, where you can cry out to God, I'm telling you what, you need to re-examine your life. You really do. And there's many times I've had to do that. I have all my needs, renewed strength. You know, renewed strength. That comes through finding rest. That comes through contentment in God providing that place where you can graze upon. And it's the word of God for me. It's sitting down in the pew and listening to the pastor preach. It's being in fellowship with my brothers and sisters and you know, just get encouraged, that renewed strength. And if you find your life where you're weak, and I'll tell you, I've been in weak places at times, and that's not the place to be. You need to re-examine yourself. You need to ask yourself, am I there following the shepherd? Am I with him? And then the third area is guidance. You know, it says about their direction, that he gives us direction and right paths. You know, there was a movie about the bucket list. You ever watch that movie, Bucket List? Now, I had a lot of things on my bucket list, and I fulfilled some of them. I've hiked the Grand Canyon. I did the Narrows. In Australia, I hiked the governor's mountain. And when I was in India, there were several things that we went to see some of the temples and so forth. But you know what? My paths have changed because I've been sitting under the direction of my great shepherd, Jesus. And I tell you what, if you're not following him and you're not allowing him to guide and direct you, you're going to end up in some really dark places. And I've seen some of that. I've seen some of that with some of my fellow workers. Dark places. Not the place to be. It really isn't. My bucket list is in the trash. It's gone. My path today is where God directs and leads me. You think I was planning on playing the harmonica with the band? I wasn't. That wasn't a part of my agenda. I thought about it, but every time I tried to play worship music, the blues got into my head. And it was difficult. It's difficult. That rhythm of the blues is totally, I mean, it's in a different place than worship music. And I wasn't planning on doing that. And really, this, being right here, this wasn't a part of my bucket list. It was way far. I mean, I didn't even have it. Matter of fact, I didn't think that I would be preaching anymore. Seriously. But you know, I've told Jesus, I want to do whatever you want me to do. I want to follow you. And so pastor asked me if I'd be interested in sharing on occasions, and so here I am. You know what? If you're not pressing on, towards a direction, towards those right paths that he wants for your life. And seriously, you have to be open. You have to be open to God. You have to be submissive. You got to humble yourselves. You know? And we as men, we as fathers, that's a difficult thing for us, is it not? It is. But you know what? Every one of these things here, contentment, rest, renewed strength, and guidance, that's something that we as fathers, we need to do that for our family. But we need to call on God, the great shepherd, because we ain't going to do it on our own. I've tried it, and it doesn't work when you try to do it on your own. We need to fall before God. We need to find that place of rest and go to that place. Psalm 23, verse 4. Walking without fear in dark places. You know what? You as a believer are going to find dark moments in your life. I've shared this before. I was ready to get married. Judy and I were engaged. And I had to go into the hospital. I was 18 years, no, I was about 21. You know, I almost didn't get out of that hospital after my surgery. I was for 4 or 5 days in intensive care. They called my parents and said, we don't know if your son's going to make it. My parents called Gene, said, we don't know if Ken's going to make it out of this. And it was a dark chapter in my life. But you know what? When I came out of that, the nurses came up to me and they said, wow, are you Billy Graham? I go, what do you mean? Well, you were sharing all these Bible verses with us, you know, like Ephesians 2, 8, 9, you know, for God so loved, and, you know, John 3, 16. And I'm like, really? And see, I wanted to know what I looked like. They had done extensive surgery on my face. And they would not let me look at myself for about 2-3 days. So it was 7 days. And I wanted a mirror. I said, can I have a mirror? And they wouldn't let me have a mirror. So the seventh day, they took the table that was in front of me. You know how they have those tables go over here? And they flipped it up, and there was a mirror. I could have seen what it looked like. But I tell you what, when I saw myself in the mirror, I was like a basketball. And you could hardly see my nose. It was all puffed up. And you know, I looked at myself and said, why did I ever get operated on? If I'm going to be walking around basketball head, you know? I had cotton balls hanging out on both sides of my face. And I'm thinking, man, is Jean ever going to want to marry someone that looks like a basketball? And she did. She married me. We've been married for 45 years. Been great. You know, bad things can happen to Christians, really ugly things. And a lot of times that causes us, like, why me, God? And through that, he slowly opens up the door and makes you realize that that was the best thing that could happen to you. Really. So let's go to, the question I want to ask here is why? Why do we go through those dark places? Because this, we find that while we're going through those dark places, that he is there. That he is close beside me, he says there in Psalms. That he is there with me. He is present. He's not absent. And when you call out to him, he's there to listen and to care for you. And when we realize why we go through those dark places, we come to that conclusion that, as Schaefer would say, and he wrote a whole book on that, the God who is there and the God who is not silent. He is not silent on why he puts you through those dark places. I can't answer those dark places you may go through, but I can answer on how God used those dark places, and that was to bring me closer to him. And then there's protection and there's comfort in Psalm 23:4, the rod and the staff. I was going to bring a rod and staff that I have that kind of passed through our family. You know that rod? That rod was used to move those sheep along, but also the staff end of it, it had a hook on it, and they could pull those sheep out of those dark places, those thickets, those briar patches that sheep found himself in. And you know, we know that there's a story that Jesus tells about that he doesn't lose any of his sheep. He goes after them. But you got to be a sheep that's in his fold. And you got to be an individual that listens to his voice and obeys it. That'll come later here. Let's go to 23:5. He prepares a feast. No worry. You know, a feast is a place where you sup. You embellish in a good, tasty meal. Not only embellish and enjoy that meal, but you're there with the other sheep. You know why? Because, think about this, in the presence of my enemies, the shepherd, and David of all people, he would understand this. The shepherd is watching your back. He has your back. Not only that, he has 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 9 o'clock, all around. He is there. And David himself, he took on, as a shepherd, he took on the bear and a lion. God does the same thing for us in the presence of our enemy. That's why the sheep can enjoy the feast, because he knows that the God who is there is protecting him and watching over him. I think that's a beautiful picture. I don't know about you, but I can't watch what's going on behind me. Wow. And God honors me. And how does God honor us as sheep? My cup overflows with blessings. Wouldn't you say that the blessings would be the fact that he supplies all your needs? He gives you contentment, he gives you rest, he renews your strength, and he gives you guidance. For me, that's what I want. I don't want $1 million. I don't want, you know, a big pension. I want God on my side. I want the God who is there. And then Psalm 23:6. God is in pursuit of me with his goodness and unfailing love all the days of my life. $1 million cannot do that. Cannot do it. But we have the great shepherd who will be there with us all the days of our life. Rest in that. Walk in that path. Be content in what he's done and he's given to you. Green pastures. I have a little quote. It's my own quote. I wrote this later, so it's not up on the screen. It says this: living life in a moment-by-moment relationship with the great shepherd has clearly shown me his continual care, even though and through the darkest times of my life. It is he who is there, the great shepherd. Follow him. Okay, and I'm going to get a picture up here. I'd like to have. That's why we weren't at 24/7 there at the campground. And Ben told the story to the band, but he only told half the story because he only owns half of the motorhome. So I only gave him half the story. And I knew if I told Ben the whole story that I wouldn't be able to tell the rest of the story, because Ben would have told the whole story. And the best part of the story is the rest of the story. Oh. Okay, I was working on this motorhome to get it ready, and I it was really hot there. You know, that we had a couple days that were just hot. And it was out in the sunlight, and I thought, well, I'm going to take it down to the bottom in the shade. You know, the bottom is quite a ways down. Let's go to the next picture. I got my temperature gun. All right. Okay. Yep. All right, right there is where the Winnebago was. The Winnebago, right there. And it was really hot. And so I decided that I wanted to get it down this lane and park it underneath these trees. So I called Gene, I had it running. I called Gene over. When I brought it up, I brought it up here, and this is a real steep incline, and it's got a couple curves in it. And I stopped it right there, parked it, put it in park, and I put on the emergency brake. Matter of fact, you know, on those emergency brakes, it has a little knob on the top, and you can turn that knob. And I turned that knob, man, made sure that thing was holding. And put those brakes on like that, and I got a hold of Jean, and so she directed traffic for me. And I pulled out of there, and I parked it over there. And that was about a month and a half ago. Well, so I wanted to get it in the shade, so I wanted to go here, get out there, head over here, and go down. Well, the rest story is this. I got a hold of Jean, and it was parked there. And I said, Gene, I'm going to need you to just make sure that I'm good with traffic, because you cannot see cars coming this way, which is downhill. You can't see them, nor can you see the cars coming up. And so she stood out there, and it was clear. So I pulled out, and all of a sudden it stalled right there. And I was fine. Then I saw this car come around the bend, and he got behind me. And then Gene goes, get around, because I started coasting backwards. And so I threw it in park, you know, and, well, in park, it's going to stop. That thing started going downhill. And I'm like, oh, man. And I go, side mirrors, because you can't, you know, this thing's 24, 25 feet long. So I'm looking through the side. They're all lined up, and I can see what's behind me. And I'm coasting down, and so I go, I got to hit, you know, I'm hitting the brakes, there's nothing. I got it in park, there ain't nothing, and it's rolling faster. And I'm rolling faster and faster and faster, and I'm coming to this curve. And you know what? When you're steering, you know, your rear end's going, woo, woo, woo. And I'm like, I'm going to go in the ditch. And so that thing's rolling back. And I come to this curve, and all of a sudden, I had this thought, oh my gosh, I can't see what's coming. I can almost feel the crunching noise of a car. I'm going, God help! And I tell you what, this is not, I had hands on the wheels. And a lot of times, that, you know, we take responsibility for our actions. Now, I had the hands on the wheel, but I'm telling you what, it's God that kept me going. So here I am. I'm staying on there, on the road. Well, as I'm going down, I go, oh my gosh, I got a bridge that I'm coming to. I'm going down, and the bridge is right here. And there's like a 20-foot drop here and about a 10-foot drop in there. And the bridge is all concrete. Oh, man. And, you know, the ends of the sides are total concrete. There's no balloons or anything. And I'm like, oh, God, this is you. You know what? I got through that bridge right there. I'm like, well, all right, you know. Woo! And I'm looking in the mirrors, and there's no cars. And I go, well, I can't go to my right, on the right side here, because there's telephones lined up all along there. And I thought, if I go off into the right, because I didn't want to be on the road anymore. So you know what I did? I went to the left, and there was about a 5-8 foot drop. I mean, it was like, vroom, vroom, vroom. And I'm going through this cornfield, and I'm looking, and I'm going, oh my gosh, the river's coming up, you know? And I go, I gotta cut. So I cut the wheel, and I came like 10 feet within the river. I'm like, God, thank you. Thank you. You know, you are so good. It's just like the shepherd. You guide me and you direct me. And I was so thankful. I mean, and Gina and I, we look back on this moment. She was running down the road. And she got around the bend and she goes, oh my gosh, he went in the creek over the bridge. And then she saw me in this cornfield. She was praising God, you know. And I was praising the Lord too. But you know what? We as guys, our pride is such that I ain't gonna let anybody see me in this cornfield, you know? So I'm there. Got that baby going. Go up the embankment. Boom! Go up the road and up the hill. And I tell you what, I was really boogieing. I didn't want that thing to stall on me because I didn't want to go back in reverse. I had my chance of rolling in reverse, and I wasn't going to test God a second time. So I got up to the top of the hill, got past my house, and I was going too fast. But I turned into the red meadow. And I had put up a metal post, about 2 years ago. I mean, it was beautiful metal post. Matter of fact, it was a metal post. You can go to the carousel and see those metal posts there. I went right through that metal post, bent it off. I mean, it was all over the place. And I said, you know what? I'm not going to make this curve. Now, Terry and you guys and Brett, you know the bends. I said, man, if I make this curve and then I make the second curve, I'm still going to go too fast and I'm going to run into everything that's down there. I said to myself, I'm going to go straight because I know there's little trees there about an inch and a half in diameter. Boom, I go through this gate that I had there. Then I go through a couple of these inch and a half trees. And I go, am I going to stop this? I mean, is this thing going to stop? All of a sudden, they hit like a tree about 3 inches in diameter, four, I don't know. And the thing just ramps right up the tree. And then the tree goes, whoop, and it stops. I mean, let me tell you what. God is good. Is he not? Woo! He is good. That's where it ended up. And that's the tree that I was ramped. I'm serious. That thing went up like this, and I go, oh, my. And it came back down. So the other day, Ben goes over there, and he goes, you know what, Ken? I think we can get this back on the road. I go, no way. I'm not going back on the road. I'll make this into a cabin somewhere in the woods, but I ain't going on the road again on this thing. The lesson here is this. Don't roll in reverse. Make sure your brakes work. Don't tighten up the emergency brake where you can't pull it. You know, and I couldn't do that. I mean, I was trying everything I could to get that emergency brake up. I tightened that thing up too much. So, you're going to need the great shepherd as your life is rolling in reverse. Hey, amen. Now, we are wondering what to name this. We were thinking Breaking Grace. Yeah. Yeah. You know what we call it now? Yeah. It Breaking Bad. Yeah. After that TV show, Breaking Bad. Huh? Ben, I'm not going to take that back on the road. Yeah. But this is one thing I want to say, is that there will be dark moments in your life. And that was kind of a dark moment. I'll tell you what. The things that were flashing through my head, going in reverse, I was like, oh my gosh. There will be dark moments in your life, and it won't be you who guides you through it. And if it is you, there will be fear in your life, and it will paralyze you. But if you follow the great shepherd, he's the one that's going to bring you through it. Blind curves may come before your way, but he, this great shepherd, is the one that's going to go before you. Amen. I still got a couple more minutes. I would like you to turn to John chapter 10, and I'll finish up with this. And these are a few thoughts that came from Chuck Swindoll Bible study. This is his Bible that I really love. Yeah, I really enjoy it. I'd like you to turn to, first of all, just chapter 10, verse 1, he says this. He says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. Okay? The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his sheep by name, and he leads them out. God knows your name. He calls you out. And there was an individual that was over there, and he witnessed the sheep hearing the voice of the shepherd. And so, this just right here, I want you to think about the fact that are you going through into God's sheepfold? Him is our gate. He's the gatekeeper. He's the one that we're to listen to. I'd like you now to turn to verse 26. He says, but you don't believe. Now he's talking to the Pharisees. He says, but you don't believe me because you are not my sheep. My sheep, they listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one can snatch them away from me. For my Father has given them to me, and he is more powerful than anyone else. No one can snatch them from the Father's hand. The Father and I are one. That's powerful. That really is. And Swindoll, brilliant, brilliant wordsmith. He says here, he lays out 4 points that just come out of these little verses here. One is sheepish. They're sensitive. They're sensitive to the shepherd. They're sensitive to his calling, to his voice. They're listening. Because they know that that shepherd's going to lead them in the right way. Second of all, the sheep, they're obedient. You know what? You can listen to the pastor, you can read the word, but if you don't apply it in your life and make it a part of who you are, you're going to walk down some bad paths. And then the guidance you get from the world, from the other gatekeepers, ain't going to be good for you. And let me tell you, there's many gatekeepers out there today. Many voices. The voice you need to listen to is the great shepherd. Third point that he brings out is the sheep are confident. Why? Because they're listening to his voice and they know that that shepherd is faithfully going to lead them to greener pastures. And we got to be that way. We have to have our confidence in that great shepherd. Our faith should be in him. We don't, you know, if our faith is in him, we are not going to fear when we roll in reverse. I could have let go of that wheel, but I didn't. I could have just closed my eyes and not looked in the mirrors. But you know what? You have a responsibility, and that is to be sensitive to the Spirit and to his calling, his voice. You have to be an individual that's obedient to what he's calling you to do. And you have to have your faith and confidence in him. And third of all, sheep are secure. He says that nobody can snatch you out of his hand. Folks, that's eternal security. Forever. This is a repeat, really. This John 10 here. It's a repeat of Psalm. It is. It's a repeat of it. And so I'm saying this to you guys. You are in his hands. Nobody's going to snatch you. Nobody's more powerful than him. He is always there for you, and he's always there to be with you. He will not leave you alone. Our world today is a world in which they pronounce and they act upon the fact that there is no God. We're not that way. We know that there's a God. I experience, you know, rolling in reverse. I experienced the hand of God upon me. Jeannie thought I'd be a goner. You cannot see past those curves. It was a blind curve. But he was there. I know that was God. Seriously. You know how busy that road is? There's motorcycles. There's semis. There are cement trucks. There are all kinds of vehicles that come up and down that hill. And for me, for those, whatever, I mean, it felt like eternity. It really did. But it was only a minute or two. I mean, really. But he was there. And I want to encourage you guys. Don't rest in anything else. Allow him to provide that rest for you. Allow him to guide and direct you in those paths. And I'm telling you right now, in the Judean desert, where a lot of those sheep, you know, those shepherds took their sheep, there were caves. And they would take those sheep into those caves. And the shepherd would guard those sheep. He would be the gatekeeper. He was there. And when he was ready to leave, this one observer said there were two sheepfolds in this one cave. And the one shepherd got off to the one side and called his sheep, and the sheep came. His sheep came over to him, while the other one called his sheep, and those sheep went over to that shepherd. Be sensitive. Listen to the voice of God. Take the word and obey it. A lot of you guys got baptized. And I'm just saying this. You know, you symbolically were immersed in that water. And you're telling the whole world and that unseen world that's out there that you're no longer a slave. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the grace you give us. And we thank you so much for the great shepherd that we have. And someday, Father, someday we're going to be with him. We're going to see the glory, Father, of your majesty. We thank you. We thank you that we're eternally secure in your hands. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Kenny. I'm glad that God doesn't give me all these experiences just if I'm going to preach.